Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios with you, how the heck are you doing today? Oh, boy, we have a lot to talk with you about today, and we're also going to have some fun today. I got to thinking about this yesterday. You know, I was talking with you about getting our heads out of the media, and we're going to do that today for quite a while. I got a couple stories I got to talk with you about because they're important. The Trace is out, you know, the Bloomberg money shill faux news operation is out with a piece today that I found it fascinating. I caught it instantly, and I wanted to talk with you about it today a little bit, just briefly. I don't want to spend too much time. I want to have some fun with you today. I'll just tell you how the whole show came about today and why I'm going to kind of shift gears with you just a little bit, just for a little bit, here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios with you today. Plenty of time for the politics. And I want us to get our heads out of the media. Maybe we'll start doing that once, maybe twice a week. At least once a week, we'll have our Get Our Heads Out of the Media Day. Got a little clip I'm going to play for you, a little audio clip there. But The Trace came out today. I read this stuff, and I ask you to do it. You got to get in here. You got to do this. You got to sign up for this stuff, okay? Please, go over to Every Town for Gun Safety. Go to The Trace. Google it up and get on the email list and read what the enemies of freedom put out. Read the spin. Read the garbage. Comes out every single day in your mailbox. And like I said, there's a gag reflex. You got to get past it. You know, there's a gag reflex involved. You got to get over it. You got to look at this stuff a few times. It's tough. You go, oh, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to see this, but you have to. And then after you get past that gag reflex, you can pretty much handle any of this stuff, okay? But there was a piece out today, ISIS sees an opportunity in the U.S.'s dumb gun laws. Now, this is, boy, you talk about spinning and stretching it. The latest scoop, this is coming from Bloomberg-funded The Trace, you know, the media out that he trains people on how to talk about guns. It's just a show. It's all it is. It's a lie. It's propaganda. But it's fun to read, like I said, once you get past that gag reflex. The New York Times includes a jailhouse interview with a former Islamic State member from Germany. So we're talking about, you know, ISIS. I want you to look at the way this reads. ISIS sees an opportunity in the U.S.'s dumb gun laws. So The Trace is now saying, well, let me just get through this first, then we'll pick it apart quickly. A former Islamic State member from Germany, that means Muslim terrorist, Islamic terrorist, who described how the jihadi group views potential recruits in North America. He was quoted as saying, for American candidates, much easier to get them over the social network because they say the Americans are dumb. They have open gun policies. They say we can radicalize them easily. And if they have no prior record, they can buy guns. So we don't need to have a contact man who has to provide guns for them. Now, the first thing that jumped out at me when I read that was, well, you just made my point. You mean even if America can't, they're still going to have guns? You're just going to get them to them? So that's the old adage that if you outlaw guns, only outlaws have guns. This is just proof positive of that. But what this guy is saying is, well, no, you can get guns. We can radicalize them. So they go on to talk about how, take a listen to this. The Washington Post Worldviews blog said they believe it's the first time ISIS or a former member has shared its assessment of American gun policies, though there's been other evidence that Islamic terrorists are aware of the loopholes in U.S. law. Loopholes. In other words, a loophole to these cats is you, a law-abiding American, being able to buy guns. Because in America, you have a right to bear arms. So according to here's what the strategy is from the anti-gunners is now to use ISIS. We've got to change our gun laws. You see, what they do is they plant seeds here, 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 and they water, and they see what grows. They throw this crap against the wall, and they see what sticks. And if this story gets legs, they move on with it. And that's a tactic they're going to use. And you'll start to see this pop up as they feed it to mainstream media. ISIS. Because of ISIS, we have to what? Do what? Something about American gun laws. But here, as they say, gun laws don't matter. Because what? They have a contact man who will provide guns for them. Which will make all of the rest of us what? Defenseless. So you understand how this stuff works because you listen to Armed American Radio. And that's a beautiful thing. Then something else hit me. The Washington Post, man. You know, you talk about propaganda. Propaganda. And I promise we're going to get our head out of our media today. But the Volokh conspiracy, If you read this, great stuff, Eugene Volokh, wearing "Don't Tread on Me" insignia could be punishable racial harassment. Did you see this stuff? Oh, good heavens. And he goes on to discuss the EEOC. And one of its functions is deciding hostile work environment. Harassment claims, if you will, brought against federal agencies. And quoting from the piece, "In doing so, it applies the same legal rules that courts apply to private employers, and that the EEOC follows in deciding whether to sue private employers. The EEOC has already ruled that coworkers wearing Confederate flag T-shirts can be punishable harassment. And they're trying to extend this to other free speech. On January 8, 2014, complainant filed a former complaint in which he alleged that the agency subjected him to discrimination on the basis of race, African-American, in reprisal for prior EEO activity when, starting in the fall of 2013, a co-worker repeatedly wore a cap to work with an insignia of the Gadsden flag." You know what the Gadsden flag is, right? "Don't tread on me." That's racist. You see how they attack you? That's racist. Everything they don't like is racist. Now, you know this because you listen to Armed American Radio, but we want to point these things out to you because many of you have Gadsden flag stickers on your truck or flags. I have 3 flags flying at my home. I have what is widely regarded as the Gonzales flag. We're going to discuss that in just a moment. Come and take it. Flies at Armed American Radio Ranch, AAR Ranch, proudly. I have a Gadsden flag, "Don't Tread on Me," proudly flying. And I have an American flag, proudly flying. According to this cat and according to the opinion piece here in the Washington Post, the complainant stated that he found the cap to be racially offensive to African Americans because the flag was designed by Christopher Gadsden, a slave trader and owner of slaves. Oh, good Lord. So I decided today would be a great day to get our heads out of our media, right? Today's a great day to do this.
It's time for Get Your Head Out of Your Media.
And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to get our heads out of our media because I wanted you to hear the truth about the Gadsden flag. This is what they're doing. They're coming after every aspect of your life. "Don't Tread on Me" and "Come and Take It" is fascinating because the history of what many people widely regard as the Gonzales flag, "Come and Take It," has such huge history behind it. So we're going to go there. We'll start now and then continue it into the next segment as to how this comes, you know, how these flags come about and what they mean and their place, their rightful place in U.S. history. There's nothing racist about any of these flags, while they will try desperately to do that, as Volokh points out in the Washington Post piece, how are they going to continue to come after you? Okay, the Gadsden flag, of course, originated during the Revolutionary War, and it has a fascinating history to it. All right, in 1775, many people don't know about this. They see the flag, they know the flag, they don't know a whole lot about it. But the snake symbol is widely regarded as having been used due to the fact that the rattlesnake was really only seen here in America. And it's, of course, known to attack, but only after giving stern warning. It doesn't want to attack unless it has to. It warns its enemies, "Hey, I'm here." It rattles. And, of course, there were 13 rattles. 13 original what? Colonies. Right? Yeah. Rattlesnakes are nasty. We have them here. But a rattlesnake will give you a loud and stern warning saying, "Look, I'm here. Don't tread on me or I will attack you." And once a coiled rattlesnake, does attack, it won't stop. It simply won't stop. But this goes back all the way to the fall of 1775 when the Brits were occupying Boston. And the Continental Army was in Cambridge, pretty much tied down, way short on armaments. And as a reason of that, you go back to Bunker Hill. George Washington famously said, told the troops not to fire until they could see the whites of their eyes. But there was a merchant ship called the Black Prince that came back from a trip to England. And there were letters to the Second Continental Congress informing them that the British government was sending two ships to America loaded with arms. Congress and Washington decided that they wanted those arms and they needed them more than the British. So they set out a plan to capture those cargo ships. And that's how they authorized the creation of the Continental Navy with four ships. And they also authorized the mustering up of five companies of Marines. And it was the Marines that were using that coiled rattlesnake ready to strike with 13 rattles and the motto, "Don't tread on me." It's still used to this day. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion.
Hey, I'm sure you know by now, I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. They are by far the leaders in providing the absolute best education, training, and a tenacious legal defense for self-reliant Americans like you and me. Now, it's the USCCA's mission to help responsibly armed Americans like you become the best protector and defender of your loved ones that you can be. And folks, the USCCA has something exciting going on right now. I don't want you to miss it. Now, for just a few days more, the USCCA is giving away $10,000 worth of free ammo. Now, can you imagine sharpening your skills at the range without worrying about running out of ammo? Now, instead of just one winner, they're going to draw four, which means you have four chances to win free ammo for a year. Now, visit their website, defendfamily.com, to enter today. Now, take your personal preparedness to the next level with the help of the USCCA, and you can enter to win $10,000 worth of ammo. It's quick, it's simple, it's free. Just go to the website, defendfamily.com, right now. One word, defendfamily.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day, you'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Okay, before I go back to the flag stuff, I've got to throw this in here because it is get our heads out of our media day today on Armed American Radio. But I have to play this for you. I have to play this for you. I want you to listen to what Hillary Clinton said back on about gay marriage in 2004. Take a listen to this.
I believe that marriage is not just a bond, but a sacred bond between a man and a woman. I have had occasion in my life to defend marriage, to stand up for marriage, to believe in the hard work and challenge of marriage.
She doesn't know what she's talking about, by the way. Hard work, it ain't hard work. She don't know the half of it.
So I take umbrage at anyone who might suggest that those of us who worry about amending the Constitution are less committed to the sanctity of marriage or to the fundamental bedrock principle that it exists between a man and a woman going back into the mists of history as one of the founding, foundational institutions of history and humanity and civilization, and that its primary principal role during those millennia has been the raising and socializing of children for the society into which they are to become adults.
Okay, so you heard her say that, but she also said this.
Good, because I want to talk not about Trump, but about you and drill down into some of the positions that you've taken in this campaign. At a fundraiser last year, you said this: the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment. Now, in the 2008 Heller case, the court said that there is a constitutional individual right to bear arms. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think what the court said about there being an individual right is in line with constitutional thinking. And I said in the convention, I'm not looking to repeal the Second Amendment. I'm not looking to take people's guns away, but I am looking.
So there you have it. So when I ask you this question, because Hillary Clinton now paints her fingernails in rainbow colors, okay? She's all about gay marriage and abandoned her principles on traditional marriage. And now she tells you she doesn't want to repeal. So you listen to this program so you understand. So the next time you choose to believe Hillary Clinton, maybe you'll think about that, okay, because she's a bona fide liar. So, yeah, just saying. All right, let's go back to this Gadsden flag stuff, you know, because it's – oh, you wanted me to play that again? I like this. Hold on, because it's what?
It's time for Get Your Head Out of Your Media.
All right, we'll get our head out of our media. We'll go back to the Gadsden flag here, then come and take it. And then Dr. John Adine is going to be here, Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, for the remaining half hour of the program. It's a lot of fun. But Christopher Gadsden, you know, people say, where did the name Gadsden flag come from? It came from Christopher Gadsden, who was a patriot. He was the leader of the Sons of Liberty in South Carolina back in 1765 and was made a colonel in the Continental Army. He was in Philadelphia back in 1775 representing his home state in the Continental Congress, and was one of three members of the Marine Committee who decided to outfit and man the Alfred and its sister ships. This comes right from Gadsden.info. Gadsden.info. You go out and find this stuff. It's fascinating stuff. It's easy to find this information. But they chose, Gadsden and Congress chose a gentleman by the name of Isaac Hopkins as the commander-in-chief of the Navy. And I told you about those original four ships in the previous segment. One of them was the Alfred. And it was Hopkins' flag that went up which was the flag we now know. It was presented to him by Gadsden, and it is the flag we now know. And I quote, Colonel Gadsden presented to the Congress an elegant standard such as is to be used by the Commander-in-Chief of the American Navy, being a yellow field with a lively representation of a rattlesnake in the middle in the attitude of going to strike, and these words underneath, don't tread on me. That's the history of the Gadsden flag. So when you have some idiot tell you it's racist because the Tea Party uses it, either walk away from them and laugh or take them on with a little bit of knowledge that you know the facts and they're just morons who headline surf and believe a bunch of crap fed to them by un-American, communist, socialist enemies of our freedom from within. And don't be shy about it, because the facts are on your side, not theirs. Don't be shy about it. The other flag I have flying at my house, and you should too. You should have this flag. Come and take it. That's widely regarded. And you know what it is. It's the cannon with the star. White background, black cannon, black star. Underneath it, come and take it. Otherwise known as Moulin Labé, right? You've seen that. Come and take it. Moulin Labé, meaning come and take it. Where did that come from? Why do they call it the Gonzales flag? Well, we should probably start with a little bit of ancient Greek history, which is very, very cool. This goes all the way back to the Battle of Thermopylae in 480 BC. The Greeks, a force of about 600, estimated to maybe 5,000, were facing a huge Persian army who was coming through a small pass known as Thermopylae to invade Greece. And, you know, the Greeks weren't having any of it. They didn't care. No, this is my place. You're not going to have it. So they chose to defend the pass. And if you know anything about the history of Moulin Labé, it really is truly a fascinating story. And the techniques used and everything are still studied by military historians today. It's quite fascinating. But, you know, about 300 Spartans, I think, is what it was. And maybe 4,000 or 5,000 Greeks, somewhere along those lines. But the standoff lasted for several days, and finally a scout was sent up from the Persians, and it's estimated that the Persian army was over 100,000 strong. And the very small Greek army said, no, now we're going to stay here and we're going to fight. And a scout was sent up, and they offered, as rumor has it, as mythology has it, the opportunity for the Greeks to lay down their arms. And the response was sent back to the head of the Persian army in kind words, Moulin Labé. No, you want it, come and take it. And the battle lasted, I think, for about 3 to 4 days. I'm going off memory now. I don't have anything pulled up on it. It's an often repeated story. And, the Greeks eventually lost, and the Persians won, but at great expense. Great expense. Many, many, many lives were lost. And that's gone down as a battle cry now used by pro-gun and so forth. The Moulin Labé, come and take it. And to come and take it, and we're going to have Dr. John Adine on, but I want to finish this with you because it's fascinating. When was it later used? Well, it was used again during the Revolutionary War right here in the state of Georgia. And a fascinating story out of a place called Hinesville, a place called Sunbury, Georgia, which is now really nothing anymore but a signpost. It's a historical marker, I'm sure. But Fort Morris was constructed in this town of Sunbury, and it was constructed under authority by the Continental Congress, let me put it that way. And the British attempted to take it. And when we come back, I'll explain it, and then we'll talk with Dr. John Adine for the remainder of the half hour, because it's fun stuff. We got our head out of our media for a while. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm sure you know by now I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. They are by far the leaders in providing the absolute best education, training, and a tenacious legal defense for self-reliant Americans like you and me. Now, it's the USCCA's mission to help responsibly armed Americans like you become the best protector and defender of your loved ones that you can be. And folks, the USCCA has something exciting going on right now. I don't want you to miss it. Now, for just a few days more, the USCCA is giving away $10,000 $1,000 worth of free ammo. Now, can you imagine sharpening your skills at the range without worrying about running out of ammo? Now, instead of just one winner, they're going to draw four, which means you have four chances to win free ammo for a year. Now visit their website, defendfamily.com, to enter today. Now take your personal preparedness to the next level with the help of the USCCA, and you can enter to win $10,000 worth of ammo. It's quick, it's simple, it's free. Just go to the website, defendfamily.com, right now. One word, defendfamily.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com. The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I'm sure you know I'm a proud supporter of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. That's also why I'm a member of the USCCA. In fact, I'm member number 32, one of the first there was, and it's the USCCA whose sole purpose is protecting responsibly armed Americans like you and me. And right now, the USCCA is giving you the chance to win the gun you've had your eye on for years with their Dream Gun Giveaway. 10 lucky winners will receive $1,500 to purchase any gun they want. So what gun is calling your name? Maybe it's a classic handgun. Maybe you're thinking about a brand new rifle or shotgun for hunting season. Or maybe it's your very first gun that you buy to protect your loved ones. There are no restrictions. You can pick any gun, any brand, in any caliber. Just visit WinDreamGun.com to enter today. And remember, since they're drawing 10 winners, you have 10 chances to win. Your entry to win your dream gun is quick, simple, and free. Just visit WinDreamGun.com right now. That's WinDreamGun.com right now.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right, we're going to continue talking about this while we've got our head out of our media. Then we'll go to our guest, Dr. John Adine from Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. I want to finish this head out of the media stuff story about these flags because it's interesting, it's fascinating, and you should be flying these flags as a patriotic American, particularly now with so much at stake. Might have been flying for years, and I vowed never to take them down until this kook in office is out of office, and I mean that. And if the unthinkable happens in November and the socialists take control of this government, it will be more important than ever to fly these flags. And hopefully we won't have to have that discussion as to why, but we will if, in fact, it happens. But you go back to a town which is now extinct, Sunbury, Georgia. There's a place called Fort Morris in Sunbury that was constructed by authority of the Continental Congress. And the British tried to take it back in, I believe, November of 1778. And I'll read you from the plaque that's at Fort Morris. Fort Morris is down near modern-day Savannah right now, about just a little bit southwest of Savannah. And the plaque reads as follows: erected at the beginning of the Revolutionary War to guard the port of Sunbury and St. John's Parish. Fort Morris was an enclosed earthwork in the shape of an irregular quadrangle surrounded by a parapet and moat. It contained a parade of about an acre. The fort was defended by more than 25 pieces of ordnance of varied size. It was named in honor of Captain Morris, who commanded the company of artillery by which it was first garrisoned early in 1776. Colonel John McIntosh commanded the garrison on November 25, 1778, when Colonel L.V. Fuser, with 500 British ground troops, supported by armed ships in the Medway River, landed at Sunbury and demanded the immediate surrender of Fort Morris. Colonel McIntosh, with 127 Continental troops, some militia, and citizens of Sunbury, less than 200 men in all, replied, "Come and take it." The enemy retreated to the south, and Continental troops held Fort Morris until January 9, 1779, when it was captured by the British forces. But that's where that "come and take it" comes from. And then it goes even farther back, or it goes forward from there. Because, of course, the "come and take it" came from 480 BC, the Battle of Thermopylae I was just telling you about. And, you know, this has been passed down for many, many hundreds of years. But how did it become known as the Gonzales flag? Well, it wasn't a flag at the time I just told you. The Texas Revolution occurred. And when the Texas Revolution occurred, there was a flag. The "come and take it" flag was flown in defense of the colony of Gonzales when the Texas Revolutionary during the Texas Revolutionary Revolution back in the 1830s. And a handmade flag with the symbol and "come and take it" and the black star was placed on it. And Texans successfully resisted the Mexicans, who were under orders to seize at the Battle of Gonzales that land. And they failed. And that flag is now known as the Gonzales flag. That's how it came to be known. But that saying has been there for many, many, many years in the form of Moulin l'Abbé, and you get the idea. So it's some fascinating history. Fly those flags proudly at your house. Please. The yellow "don't tread on me" flag, the white "come and take it" flag, and of course the American flag, fly all of them together. I have an American flag on the front of AAR Ranch. I have the Gadsden flag and the Gonzales flag out back on a deck overlooking the creek down in the holler of AAR Ranch. So anybody approaching the ranch can see those two from the rear, and as they come around the front, they can see the American flag. And there's nothing racist about it. And the people who suggest that are, let's just say, pant size IQ voters. Sean, yes.
What was that word you used?
What word did I use?
Crick.
Down by the crick in the holler, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, basically in the back of AAR Ranch. You know, down the levels, there's a crick down in the holler. Down in the holler. And it's interesting that, well, that's how someone, you know, it's like my cousin Vinny, right? It's not Ute, it's youth. It's down in the hollow.
Oh, hollow. Okay.
Down in Georgia, it's down in the holler. Down by the creek in the holler, okay? In a van down by the river.
In the
creek
by the hollow. Okay, I'm good, thank you.
In the creek by the hollow or down the creek near the holler is a little bit easier to say. It flows out. So y'all come down and see it sometime. But that's fascinating history, and that's where those come from. And I thought about that when I saw this attempt, you know, by the left, pointed out by Eugene Volokh in the Volokh Conspiracy, that, you know, this is the tactics of the left, is to paint you as a racist thug for simply fun. These are historic American flags with great history behind them. Fly them proudly. Buy them and fly them proudly. And take no crap from any idiot whose IQ is his waist size, okay? Educate them and school them. And you have the information. If you want more information on it, shoot me an email, mark@armedamericanradio.org. Love to have the conversation with you. So that was Get Out the Media Day. And we'll do that. Oh, there we go. Listen, we'll do that maybe once a week.
It's time for Get Your Head Out of Your Media.
Yeah, we'll try that. We'll try that maybe every week, all right? Okay. Phew, man, I think we're going to have to go back to our media somewhat because I have Dr. John Adine on the line. And Dr. John Adine is not just America's greatest pediatric orthopedic surgeon, but he is also a great friend and a great guy, and he has an affinity for fine scotch. And I know that from firsthand experience. Dr. John Adine down in San Antone. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, and I've seen that crick in that holler, so
yes,
I know it's there. I've been there.
You know it's there, and you've seen my flags. They were flying, so I think that went hand-in-hand with knowing about Great Scotch, too, and barbecuing while armed, if I'm not mistaken. So I think we've done it all.
Absolutely.
At AAR Ranch, so that's proof positive. But interesting history with that stuff, John, isn't it?
Yeah, Gonzales is only 100 miles from where I'm sitting right now, so yes.
1835 or 1831, when was it? The Texas Revolution, do you recall?
It was before the Alamo.
It was back then sometime.
Yep.
So, you know, early 1830s. I don't have the time to go look that up, but I didn't mark the date down when I was taking some notes. But it's great history. Come and take it. You want it? Yeah, okay, come and take it. Same thing with Hillary. Come get them. Come on, girl. You come and get them. Come to the door. Hey, John, you wrote a piece that's in Concealed Carry Magazine's July issue. And let me see. Let me find it here. Where is it? Because I know I have it. Hold on a second here. Golly, I've got so much going on. Because you wrote a fascinating piece about terrorism, and I want to talk about that in great detail with you. I think people need to hear what is happening. Let me pull up my emails here. I'm sorry. I've got so many multitasking things going on here, Dr. John. If you tried to do this when you were having surgery, oh, good heavens, I hope you never do.
Yeah,
that would be a nightmare. Yeah, that would be a tink, tink, tink. That wouldn't be a good thing. Okay, in the crosshairs, I actually had it pulled up. Are our hospitals targets for terrorist attacks? This was a fascinating read. And you went into great detail about four types of attacks. Now, Sean, how much time do we have in this segment? About a minute?
Yes, sir.
John, what are the four types of attack? We've got 60 seconds, then we'll discuss them in detail, your piece,
okay,
when we come back.
I'll try to get through it. The first type of attack is a decimation attack, and that's either like a bombing or a lone wolf or small group attack. It's quick with a high casualty count. There's a mass hostage siege, where they take hostages and they hold them for a period of time. Beslan in Russia is an example of that. There's a synergistic attack where it's a combined decimation attack and a mass hostage, and that 9/11 is an example of that. And then the last one is a symphonic attack where multiple targets are hit simultaneously, and the attack in Mumbai is an example of that. So those are the four types of attacks, and this is according to John Gyduck in his book, When Terror Returns, which I recommend highly. If you want to find out about terrorism, it's a pretty impressive resource.
Yeah, you go on, you put a list here of terrorist physicians, which include Ayman al-Zawahiri, Abdelaziz al-Rantisi, Dr. Mahmoud al-Zahar, Fatih Abdelaziz Shakiki, and on down the list of Muslim names, every single one of them. Isn't that interesting? And I don't have time to go through the rest of the list, but when we come back, we'll talk about it with Dr. John Adine and what risk it poses to American hospitals. Good Lord, we'll be back. Hi, it's Mark, and I'm sure you know I'm a proud supporter of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. That's also why I'm a member of the USCCA. In fact, I'm member number 32, one of the first there was, and it's the USCCA whose sole purpose is protecting responsibly armed Americans like you and me. And right now, the USCCA is giving you the chance to win the gun you've had your eye on for years with their Dream Gun Giveaway. 10 lucky winners will receive $1,500 to purchase any gun they want. So what gun is calling your name? Maybe it's a classic handgun. Maybe you're thinking about a brand new rifle or shotgun for hunting season. Or maybe it's your very first gun that you buy to protect your loved ones. There are no restrictions. You can pick any gun, any brand, in any caliber. Just visit WinDreamGun.com to enter today. And remember, since they're drawing 10 winners, you have 10 chances to win. Your entry to win your dream gun is quick, simple, and free. Just visit WinDreamGun.com right now. That's WinDreamGun.com right now.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today. Ave at crossbreedholsters.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Hey, I'm sure you know by now, I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. They are by far the leaders in providing the absolute best education, training, and a tenacious legal defense for self-reliant Americans like you and me. Now, it's the USCCA's mission to help responsibly armed Americans like you become the best protector and defender of your loved ones that you can be. And folks, the USCCA has something exciting going on right now. I don't want you to miss it. Now, for just a few days more, the USCCA is giving away $10,000 worth of free ammo. Now, can you imagine sharpening your skills at the range without worrying about running out of ammo? Now, instead of just one winner, they're going to draw four, which means you have four chances to win free ammo for a year. Now, visit their website, defendfamily.com, to enter today. Now, take your personal preparedness to the next level with the help of the USCCA, and you can enter to win $10,000 worth of ammo. It's quick, it's simple, it's free. Just go to the website, defendfamily.com, right now. One word, defendfamily.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Yeah, going to wrap up this hour with Dr. John Nadine here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Got to get you over to usccaonair.com quickly. usccaonair.com. The Gun of Day giveaway is going on right now, and it's huge. Today's gun giveaway is a Sig Sauer P229 DAK with a value of $1,108. That's the check you'll get if you win today's gun. You have 7 hours, 11 minutes, and 40 seconds from right now. Ding. And the grand prize winner at the end of the month will win 1 pound of solid gold in the form of 16 gold American Eagles. I'd love to have that in my hands about right now. The value is roughly $22,650 at today's price. All you have to do is visit usccaonair.com and pick up Concealed Carry Magazine, digital and print edition. Together are only $47, and with that special, you get 100 hard copy editions, previous editions, past editions sent to you. And considering there are 8 a year, do the math, that's a hell of a deal. USCCAonair.com. And I think in those 100 issues, you'll read every column I've ever written. I've been in every one of those issues, been writing for the magazine for many, many years now, and hope to see you as a subscriber, okay? USCCAonair.com. It's all right there for you. There's a little video from the president and the founder of the USCCA, my good friend Tim Schmidt. The gun giveaway today, a Sig Sauer P229 DAK, value $1,108, and the grand prize winner, 1 pound of gold. Very cool stuff. All right, let's go back to Dr. Adine. All right, Dr. John, in the crosshairs, are our hospitals, and you work at one, vulnerable?
Absolutely they are. In fact, they are soft targets. The reason why I got into the gun rights thing was because my hospital is posted as a gun-free zone. I have to disarm every time I go into my hospital. And not only are we at risk for the spree shooter, but there's a history of terrorist attacks against hospitals worldwide. In fact, there's a well-written article by Gannor and Worley, which describes 100 attacks in 47 countries with 775 deaths and 1,217 people wounded.
That's all between 1981. And you're right. In 43 countries spread across every continent between 1981 and 2013. As you said, 1,217 others wounded and 775 people killed. It would seem to me, and of course I read your piece, but it would seem to me it's almost a no-brainer that a hospital would be a place, because we're not fighting a uniformed enemy that respects the Geneva Convention and the rules of war. This is a street fight. They're gouging out your eyes. They're kicking you in the crotch, and then when you're down, they're going to cut your head off. It's as simple as that. That's what kind of enemy we're facing, right? They would attack a hospital.
Right. In fact, their favorite thing is to have an attack in the city and then to suicide bomb the ER as the casualties are arriving. And that acts as a force multiplier. Not only are the people who are injured in the initial attack now not going to be able to get health care and get, you know, trauma treatment, but now you've taken out a major piece of infrastructure in the city. And if you're in a small city, which may only have one hospital, now you're without a hospital in your city. I live in San Antonio. We have lots of hospitals, but still, it's a significant percentage of the ability to provide health care. And it's not very easy to replace those kind of people. The other thing is that if they do a hostage situation type of thing, they have easy access. They have access to a large number of people who often are immobile. Also, we have nuclear and biological materials in hospitals so that they can be used later on in a dirty bomb or in some other type of attack. With a large number of people of Middle Eastern descent in our hospitals, they can be radicalized, and they have inside knowledge, inside access. Look at Nadal Hassan. You know, he was an inside guy, and he was able to kill a bunch of people in Fort Hood. Even though there was lots of warnings, they were ignored. The other thing is that hospitals are easy to defend if you're the bad guy on the inside. They have long, straight hallways with long kill zones and, you know, fatal funnels. So if they get inside, it's very hard to go back to take them out. And, you know, my concern is this. You know, first of all, do hospitals have a liability in the age of terrorism to make sure that we have good security? And my answer is yes. I think these attacks are foreseeable. I think they're going to happen sooner or later. You have to ask, does your hospital have a plan in the event of a terrorist attack in your city to secure the ER, to prevent vehicles from just driving up? Another thing is, you know, a vehicle painted like an ambulance, either full of attackers or a bomb, drives right up into the ER and kaboom. Now you've got your ER is completely decimated, and maybe even part of your hospital is no longer functional. So that's another thing. Also, wouldn't it be nice if we can train and arm some of our staff to have them concealed carry, something like the FASTER program that they have in Ohio, mm-hmm. or the teachers? And that's another thing that I think is a reasonable thing to do, especially if you advertise you're going to get the target choice will be not where you're at. It's going to be some other hospital. And so, well, you know,
John, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Let me ask you this, because without even putting much thought into this, it seems to me that a hospital is far softer than a shopping mall, for example, or a superstore like a Walmart. And here's why, in my mind. Here in the United States, we do have armed civilians, and the odds are fairly high, depending on where you are, that there are armed civilians in those malls, and people are walking around, they're walking around projecting themselves, they're moving around, and many of them will be armed, a certain percentage of them will be armed. In the event of in the case of a hospital, you have people bedridden. They are absolutely unable to move. They are not mobile for the most part. And the ones that are, you're wheelchair-bound and maybe handicapped. You know, these are people that are very, very vulnerable. And then you have the staff that's taking care of those people. High level of concentration on those people, not worried about other stuff going on around them. it seems like the natural soft target when you're hitting something where there's a lot of people who are immobilized by the nature of the fact that they're even in a hospital. True?
Absolutely. In fact, this is what concerned me from the get-go, and this is why I wrote this article. I think that the word needs to be put out that, you know, this is a risk. Hospitals, frankly, are not prepared. The ones that I've been in and worked in, security is often just a guy with a taser. There, you know, very few of them have firearms, or if they do, in some of the big inner city hospitals, they may have, you know, police officers with firearms and maybe have metal detectors, but most of them have multiple entrances where people are free to come and go. Also, there's potential for inside people to be able to smuggle weapons and explosives, to pre-stage this stuff so that when the attack happens, they already have their supplies there. They don't have to go through the front door with a rifle. It's already been delivered through the loading dock, and it's in a specific place. And, you know, it's very easy to get a number of hostages and lock them.
Oh, they're hostages just by virtue of the fact that, that most of them are immobile to begin with. They're bedridden. That's an instantaneous, you know, hostage situation right out of the box. They don't even have to herd them together. It's to take control of the building, and they have them. John, we're getting ready to call this hour quits. Please continue to work on that. I want to carry this conversation on with you. I'm looking to bring you back to the Monster broadcast to have this conversation, maybe bring a few other security experts on to talk about this, because we could get really deep with this. I appreciate the column. You can read it at Concealed Carry Magazine. I highly recommend you do so. It's called In the Crosshairs, Are Our Hospitals Targets for Terrorist Attacks? By Dr. John Adeen. He is one of the nation's best pediatric orthopedic surgeons. Dr. Adeen, thank you very much, my friend. We'll be talking with you shortly. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. We're going to get up and do it all again tomorrow because we can. They don't like it. And we're going to keep telling you the truth. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.